Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode number 57 of the Pika Serenity podcast. I am, as always, one of your hosts, Emelson, and I am joined this week by my co-host, Anomaly.
Hello.
And BlizzCon was this weekend. It's officially, like, it's over now, right?
Yes, I believe it is now. As the time of this recording, it is officially over. The last panels, I think, end around 5 Pacific, so. We are in the clear.
So, we got a lot of news. That's basically all we're going to be talking about today. Probably going to end up, like, even skipping Q&A. There's a lot. So.
A lot of feelings, a lot of thoughts, you know. There's stuff.
There's lots stuff to talk about. Of stuff. But, you know, before we get into that, I know that is kind of our what happened this week section. Like, it's the entire show. But I did want to see maybe like a little recurring segment. How is your progression going?
Oh, yeah. Not terrible, actually. So we are, of course, on Mythic Stone Legion. We are about, gosh, like 80-ish pulls in on the boss. And we saw the final phase like 3 times on Thursday night. Ooh. With
you're
most
close.
Most of the raid group up. I mean, I think the first time it was pretty rough, that transition, and then the second and third time cleaned it up, but quickly just died to like people not realizing like the eruptions reset in terms of like locations, and then where to run Wicked Blades, I think, was the other time we wiped, which was, you know, just sort of learning positioning for some people seeing it. So from what I understand, like, you reach phase 3 cleanly. There's like 1 or 2 mechanics you do early on, and then it's like lust, pot, and kill the boss in 40 seconds. So
yeah,
our bosses. So we're close. I mean, I had this wild idea, like, that's a sub 100 pull boss for us, because I think we can put together that. But it's we're going well. I will say, though, that as a paladin on that fight, I absolutely hate the gargoyle things that jump and attack people,
yeah,
particularly in the intermission phase, because you leave one of them up for so long that on its second jump, it will one shot. It'll essentially kill someone in a second and a half, right?
Right.
And my job in that is to bop someone. So I literally have to watch, because it's sometimes around a blade / crystal / meteor. So I have to make sure I'm not in that to get stunned, or I'm moving appropriately. And then I literally have to just watch the gargoyle, whoever it jumps to, like, bop them almost immediately so they don't die. And it's like super stressful, because like I'm like ultra focused on that and like not paying attention to anything else. So
yeah.
It's going well. I mean, we've been extending, so hopefully a Tuesday kill, and then it's starting on Sire. So
nice.
Yeah. So how's you guys still working on Sludge Fist?
No, we killed Sludge Fist.
Oh, nice.
Actually, like 30 minutes into raid the very next day after last week's episode.
Oh, nice. Nice. You got like almost a full night on. Yeah. Full night.
Yeah.
Or two,
actually, so yeah. We started on Stone Legion, and it's going pretty well so far. Yesterday was our second night. We're getting into phase 2. I don't remember our pull count right now. But, you know, phase 1 wipes are... We're not wiping in phase 1. You know, we're wiping in intermission 1.
Yeah.
I'm sure you've experienced the, oops, one of the shields didn't get broken. Or, you know, someone didn't get the crystallize out at the right time. And just nobody got in it. You know, stuff like that. And then the random people getting knocked off the edge because they stood too close to the dunk point while running out Wicked Blades. That's the big one, actually. We've mostly solved the shields issue. That one got us a couple times.
Gotcha.
Which we had a fun one. So our, like, a hunter and warrior ran out the Wicked Blade, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And dunks are happening at the same time. Warrior gets just yeeted by the dunk.
Yeah.
The Wicked Blade goes from the boss to the hunter towards the warrior, then follows the warrior, goes through me, on the boss gives me a stack, then the warrior dies from falling damage.
Mm-hmm.
And it puts your body in the center of the room. So the blade keeps going back up through the entire raid, immediately wiping us. And then for extra spice, it comes back and it hits me again.
Oh my god.
Before that's crazy. Before we wipe. So don't get knocked off during wicked blades.
That's funny. Yeah, we didn't have any knockoff issues in terms of like the wicked blade positioning, but what we ran into was people picking up multiple orbs and then doing it all at once. So like a lot of times our raid would like not move away as they were dying. So like
we'd
pick up literally the first group all at once and then we'd miss some with the turnets because people wouldn't be fast enough to get it in. So yeah, we've mostly fixed that. We still, the last one we dunk, we have a hunter assigned to it. And there's a rare occasion a different person will run into that and then they will inevitably forget what to do and wipe us, right?
Or yeah, we've actually, every single time that we've gotten through the shields without, you know, dying.
Mm-hmm.
Or I guess I shouldn't say that. We had a string of like 5 pulls that we got into phase 2 cleanly in a row. That was really nice. Phase 2 seems simpler in some sense. Like when there's all the phase 1 stuff, but then the phase 2 stuff doesn't actually seem that much more complicated.
No.
So
yeah,
I have high hopes.
Phase 2 is actually almost, well, as long as people can move their feet for upheaval, right? Like as long as they can move and do the whole dance recital thing from council, it's actually, I think, a lot easier. So
yeah.
But yeah, awesome. No. You're not too far behind, which is awesome. But hopefully we get that kill on Tuesday, and then we get to start Sire. So
yeah.
Yeah, it's it gets fun. The second transition is not fun, by the way. You have no room to like move. So like everything is like right in that sort of just front pocket, like where you just barely can't get knocked back. And then the wicked blades go all the way to the back. And the first, yeah, that was second transition was interesting the first couple times we went through it. So
yeah.
But cool. We think we're good to start the what happened next week section, which is essentially the entire episode.
Yep. So why don't we kick it off with just a little bit about some of the non-WoW stuff. And by non-WoW stuff, I basically just mean Diablo, because let's be real, that's most of the non-WoW stuff from this year's BlizzCon.
Yeah, I mean, I guess a quick recap, just at a high level, like Hearthstone was a new expansion, was the big one. And then Overwatch 2, they did give a deep dive. I mean, other than some major design points that they talked about, which was like just quick hits, like they had like spec specific buffs, right? Where like tanks gain the ability to get knocked back less by knockbacks, DPS gain a small move speed, and healers gain a small like auto regeneration after they haven't taken damage. So they have role-based perks now. And then they're sort of shifting some of the things, like tanks are no longer going to be like tanks. They'll be more brawlers. So they get a little bit more damage and in your face a little bit more. And they talked a lot about like a horde mode or more of the PvE type content that they're bringing in, where you can co-op PvE and not always competitive. So, I mean, other than that, a couple overviews of new maps, but I mean, ultimately nothing too crazy in terms of like new Overwatch 2 stuff. So. Hearthstone, I honestly, I'm assuming it's just the expansion. I didn't actually watch any.
There's an expansion. So. There's some other things that, as someone that's played a lot of Magic, I really wish Wizards of the Coast would do, but this is not the, I don't really want to dive into it because that explaining the context around it and why I wish they would do it is just too time consuming. So
cool.
There is some other stuff that they announced that's, it's not just a new expansion, but it's mostly a new expansion.
Gotcha. Fair enough. Cool. So yeah, so Diablo, which of the three Diablo things do you want to talk about first?
Let's go with Diablo 4. So they announced what mounts, like you're going to have a big open world. So you're going to have a mount to get around with. Not a lot of the, like, as much of the like teleporting and loading screens as maybe there were in Diablo 3.
Yeah, It seemed like much more, the idea was much more of like a seamless world where you literally can ride from sanctuary to zone to zone to zone and never sort of hit those loading screens or those like end of zone.
Yeah. Kind of like WoW is, you know, you can go from Winter Spring all the way down to Tanaris and not hit a single loading screen.
Exactly. So, I mean, it was, I think that was the big point they made in terms of just like the world building. The cool thing is like every character or class, I guess, gets a like off the mount ability or move. Right. So they debuted like last time, I guess it's the mage one, right? Where she like freezes enemies as she jumps off her mount and sort of gets into the fray. But then this time they unveiled a new class, the rogue, and they're jumping off forest animation, essentially like rain of arrows, which looked really cool,
I think. Yeah, no, this game looks amazing, like visually is amazing. One of the things that stood out to me as well from like, obviously, you know, gameplay demo, but from the gameplay footage that they showed is just how quick like the rogue looked. And that's always been one of my complaints about PoE, that like maybe it's different at the end game, like if you get really end game, but it's always felt slow and clunky. I cannot talk. Compared to Diablo 3, so despite D3's flaws, you know, that's always been one that I've enjoyed playing more. And this seems like more of that. It looks like the rogue looks really fast and quick, dashing around the battlefield, just deleting things. So yeah, that looks like fun. I'm looking forward to when we get like a Diablo 4 beta or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, I think the art direction, initially a lot of people were like, it's just another D3, right? But this is particularly in like the lighter areas, right? Like the areas that had just more just ambient lighters were better lit. The game looks a lot more realistic, I guess would be like the term I would use, in terms of like the art style, like the background. Some of those like indoor areas seem to just have a lot more like detail inside of them and things like that than D3 did. And yeah, I mean, I think the art style looks great. Like some of the abilities looked really good. The rogue looked interesting. I don't think I'll ever play it. I don't generally play like melee in ARPGs, but yeah, the intro looked cool. And then I think the other big thing for me was like the ears are back, which
all right, can you, as someone that didn't play Diablo 2, like when it was current, when there were other people, like I didn't play online basically.
Yeah.
What are ears?
So basically, like you could join certain like servers or whatever, or just other people, right? In PvP in Diablo 2. And I believe it was also in Diablo 1. And the idea was like whenever you killed someone, when you looted their body, as a part of that, you got an ear. And the ear essentially had their name on it. And the item, if I remember correctly, the item didn't do anything, right? It just was like a token of like you killed that person and took their ear. So the idea of them bringing back is interesting. I wonder if they put a currency around it. I mean, I did not PvP much in terms of like what I did. I mean, a lot of it was maybe like a couple of times. But I know I had some friends in high school that really enjoyed PvPing and like would talk about like they got the ear of somebody who was like, I don't know, somebody good. I guess there was like local.
Right.
Like people are good. So yeah, that's really all they were, was just like tokens. So it'll be interesting to see if they actually make them do anything beyond just like, hey, you killed them, here's a name token, which I think would be cool if they left it like that, like there was nothing about it. But they did talk a little bit about in Diablo 4 some of like the PvP zone stuff too, which sort of ties into this, which is like, it seemed almost like it reminded me, as they're explaining it, of The Division, which I don't know if you ever played The Division. Didn't. So like the idea of The Division was like you're in a post-apocalyptic like New York City, and like there are like safe zones and contaminated zones. And when you go to the contaminated zone, anything can kill you, including other players. And if you get really good loot there, you have to like decontaminate it before you can take it out of the contamination zone. And if you die there, you drop everything. So like, the idea is like you basically like quickly get in, you know, kill what you need to kill, get the good loot, and then like basically call in a helicopter. You have to wait like 60 seconds for that to come in, at which point everybody around you knows it's happening, and then everyone will try and kill you and then take your loot unless you get on the helicopter. So anyway, It's exactly what this sounds like in terms of like you run around this PvP area killing monsters for like one currency, but then if you want to like turn it into like the more powerful currency, you have to like go to an altar, trigger the altar, and then sit around that altar for like 60 seconds while you're I don't know, while you cook it or whatever you do.
Yeah. Right?
And then it pops out and you get like biscuits that, you know, you can then use to buy like better stuff. So that's what it reminded me of. I will never do this. Unless I like can find some place where I'm all alone by myself. The Division and Division 2 gave me like heart attack in terms of like the stress it induced. So like I have zero desire to play a PvP game like that. But it seemed cool if you're into that sort of like loot driven, you can drop loot, you know, things like that. So but yeah, D4 looked, I mean, I think in general it looked good. Like it looked much better than what we saw last BlizzCon, right? Which I guess we expected it's further along.
Which is good. You know, a year on, we want it to look better.
Yeah.
So yeah. Speaking of betas though, we are also getting Diablo 2 Resurrected. This is something we talked about when Vicarious Visions got acquired by ActiBliz.
Yep.
That they might be working on this. I don't think we have confirmation that they are yet.
Oh no, we do.
We do?
So the lead designer in the deep dive panel is somebody from Vicarious Visions. So
oh, okay. The all right. We do have confirmation. Yeah. Yes, they didn't say anything, but they may as well have.
Yeah.
So that is, so it's basically, it's Diablo 2. Instead of sprites, they've basically made 3D renders of the, like, not of the sprites, but that invoke the feel of the sprite.
Yeah. The deep dive is actually really cool, by the way.
Yeah, I'm going to go watch it later. I haven't gotten to watch it yet. But from what I saw at the intro to BlizzCon thing yesterday, it looked great. And you can go and opt in to the technical alpha right now on the Diablo site. Mm-hmm. So if you're interested in playing that, go and opt in.
Oh yeah, 100%.
And we also got the announcement, I guess, that Diablo Immortal is coming out soon-ish. And I seem to remember them saying we would be getting either a beta or an alpha for that as well, but I don't remember.
Yeah, I watched, like I said, I think the D4 and the Diablo 2 Resurrected stuff. I haven't seen anything on Immortal, so that is on my to-do list probably either tonight or tomorrow, just to catch up a little bit. But
yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I guess I would assume it's coming out soon. But the one thing I did want to talk about just real quick on Diablo 2 Resurrected is there's one part they talk about where they were remodeling the inn, and like in the kitchen part of the inn, there was like one of the lead devs mentioned or noticed when they were doing like just a quick flyby was like, oh, there's like onions hanging on like over the cooktop or whatever. And I was like, oh, did you guys add that? Speaking with like the Vicarious Visions team or whatever. And they're like, no, like those were in the original game. And the dev was like, no, they weren't. Like, we wouldn't put their onions. And like, they go back and they do a side-by-side comparison. And it's like, new version, onions. Old version is like a 5-pixel sprite of like white balls that like were the onions that like hang over the thing. It was like, it was so cool. Like the attention, I mean, as long as they like continue that, but the attention to detail of actually getting it, like, look, this stuff was in the original game. We've just sort of like built it in 3D now, right?
Yeah.
Seems really cool. The other thing too, which if you get a chance to watch the technical, like the deep dive on this one, if you played Diablo 2, like with any sort of like, you played it a lot or like really got into it, they're keeping a lot of the same systems in place, even though the game is going to end up running at 60 FPS. All the timings are still at that 25% or 25 FPS timing, right? So you still like are either in motion or not in motion in terms of like your character. It's still all grid-based underneath, right? So like your movement's very similar. They just basically have like smoothed out a lot of the animations and just updated that way. So a lot of the underlying systems still work the exact same way. The graphics just are updated. And they do the cool remaster thing of like being able to toggle between the two, like on the fly. So like you can hit a button and you're in old Diablo 2 graphics and another button, you're in like the resurrected graphics. So sorry, I'm like actually really excited about D2 in terms of like what it is. So
my understanding is we're getting D2 Resurrected before we get D4. Or at the very least, it's going to be playable in our hands because we have a technical alpha at some point in the I don't want to say near future, but relatively near future for Diablo 2 Resurrected. And Diablo 4 is not quite at that point yet.
Yeah.
But yes. I'm excited.
Yeah. Yeah, and Immortal, I mean, like I said, I haven't watched anything on Immortal, but everything I've heard come out of the technical alpha that was like pre the holidays or right around that, everyone's had good things to say. So, I mean, a lot of people sort of meme on that thing, but I think it actually is going to end up being kind of cool. Some of the stuff I even read in from an interview perspective seems interesting, where like you have spells that build upon other spells. So like there's a synergy between like, I don't know if it was like Frost Nova and then like an Ice Spike ability. So like, which is not something that Diablo has like traditionally done, right?
Right.
So it'll be hopefully interesting. We'll see.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool. Anything else on the non-WoW stuff?
Oh, I guess they also very heavily implied that there are going to be new IPs from Blizzard in the next, I would say in the next year, we're going to get some kind of announcements, whether that's next year's BlizzCon or another announcement before then. But he basically said, we had things we wanted to have here, like other IPs we wanted to have here, and they're just not ready yet.
Yeah.
I mean, it's basically what he said.
Yeah, so that'd be interesting. We did get, too, I don't know, we sort of a hot topic, but we did get that Arcade Classics drop with Lost Vikings, Rock and Roll Racing, and Blackthorn. So I played, I actually played Rock and Roll Racing last night for like an hour. It was so much fun. But yeah, that is also out. If you bought like the additional stuff with like the mounts or whatever, like whatever replaced like the virtual ticket, right? You got a copy of that in your Battle.net launcher. So
yeah,
but that was cool. So
but yeah, time for WoW stuff. Yeah. And oh boy,
so good. Yeah.
So, we didn't have the leak last week, did we? Right? We were just speculating.
We were, yeah. I think there was some under rumblings, right? One which was like Burning Crusade Classic.
Yeah,
might come out.
It's confirmed. It's confirmed. It's going to be sooner rather than later. We don't have an exact date. And if I had to guess, I would say after 9.05, probably after 9.1, but like, so something like fall?
Yeah.
Like early fall, like August timeframe. But that's complete speculation based on the stuff that they said. But, oh boy.
I'm so excited.
Yeah. Burning Crusade is like pre-Legion was the time, I guess, like Burning Crusade is basically where I started playing WoW, right? Like, I spent a lot of time playing WoW during the Burning Crusade. It's got, I think, the leveling experience in BC, like, the whole way through, even. Not even just the BC zones, but that is where WoW really hit its stride in terms of, like, balancing the grindiness of it with the actual, like, anything can kill you kind of vibe. That classic, anything can kill you, but also it takes forever.
Yeah,
it goes a little bit faster in BC. So they did confirm we are going with the XP curve and the balancing as of patch 2.4.3. Very much like classic in that regard, where they started at 1.12.1. So that's, you know,
great. I mean, that's great. That XP tuning and balance tuning, like, so a very visceral thing I remember is I was leveling a paladin around this time, and I was in Blade's Edge. I was in Blade's Edge to the north right before you head over to Netherstorm, and I was killing these like harpies or whatever, and it was literally like put up a seal, auto attack for 30 seconds, judge the seal, do that twice and kill one mob. And I was leveling to do that. And I remember this patch hit, log into my paladin, and I literally am pulling five or six things and just demolishing everything. It was the greatest experience ever when that came in terms of like just the patch, like the balancing and things like that. So yeah, it's cool that they're going with the final patch balancing, which I think in terms of like giving a, you know, an authentic experience makes sense. I mean, there's no point in like basically remaking the same mistakes or remaking the same sort of issues they had, right?
Right.
Which is cool. The one thing they aren't doing, which is interesting, is they're not putting in the post-nerf bosses.
Right. Which, I was going to mention that, which is something that really, I think, like kind of hurt Classic, where yeah. if a boss was nerfed by the time 1.12.1 rolled around, well, it was nerfed when Classic launched. So I don't even know what nerfs there were. But if AQ got nerfed or if Molten Core got nerfed, they were just easier when everybody set foot in the zone. I do think like keeping the class balance changes in is good because we generally, as a general rule, we don't see a lot of like Diablo 3 style power creeping of the base class itself, where like Diablo 3, the numbers on buttons now are a whole lot bigger than they were when the game launched. That's not really what we see in WoW. At least within the singular expansion, the power creep comes from other gear and other systems. Yep. And since we're starting fresh with, you know, we'll get, you know, the initial gear that was available at the beginning of the expansion, it's going to be pretty nice.
Yeah.
They also said that this is, they are more or less rejecting the hashtag no changes crowd. They are hashtag some changes is the way they described it. So we are getting some things like Paladins in Burning Crusade, if you don't remember, had a seal that was unique to your faction. Horde Paladins, aka Blood Elves, had Seal of Blood. And Alliance Paladins had Seal of Vengeance.
It doesn't matter, it sucked.
Seal of Blood was a lot better. So both factions are going to have both seals now, and Seal of Vengeance will continue to not get used.
Yeah, which the way they're doing it is cool too. So you still level, like if you level a Blood Elf Paladin or in a Draenei Paladin, right, or Alliance Paladin, sorry, you don't get Seal of Blood at, what was it, 54 when those came out. You still get the faction-specific one, but then once you hit 60, you get both, right? So like at 60, Alliance Paladins will get Blood, Seal of Blood, and Horde Paladins will get Seal of Vengeance. So that's an interesting change. I mean, the other, they're making a couple other like interesting sort of changes too around like leatherworking and drums, which if you didn't play in this era, like drums used to stack with heroism, and it was on a cooldown that you could essentially rotate and it was only on your group, but you could have four leatherworkers in your group and keep up a permanent drums buff. So the way cooldowns work and things like that. It did require you to level leatherworking to like 100 or 120 or something like that just to use them.
It wasn't that bad to do that.
No. So I can tell you it's honestly the only time my warlock ever had an profession other than enchanting or tailoring was essentially start of Black Temple through Sunwell for drums, right? And that was actually, I think we talked about this, that was my job, was to like rotate people through groups because you could do in comp. I wonder if they'll keep that actually. That would be interesting. Because you can change groups in combat.
Yeah. I imagine they will. It's just some of the really dumb stuff like drums is going to get changed. They also said like they're removing spell batching. That's something that they went back and implemented again for Classic and then realized how many issues it actually caused.
Yeah.
And they were like, we appreciate that some people really like that feel and some of the quirks that come from that, but also this actually is causing problems and we're just gonna not have it in Burning Crusade. And then another change they're making, Blood Elves and Draenei will be available for leveling prior to the actual release of the zones. So you'll be able to level to 60 with a Blood Elf or a Draenei before the zones actually opened, which is different from how it was when the expansion actually released. All of the zones opened at the exact same time when that happened, which is different. Like, they've changed that. This is how they do modern expansions, you know?
Yeah, there'll be like
expansion. If an expansion releases with like a new class during the pre-patch, you get to level that class. Yeah. Which is why, you know, at the end of WoD, 3/4 of everyone was a demon hunter.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, so I mean it's cool. There are also a couple of quick things, just that they're going to do 5 content patches, they said. Essentially, they laid them out. It's funny, they're actually changing them as we speak. So like even from yesterday from their presentation to today during the Q&As, they changed like where season 1 of the PvP season starts, right? They end up starting it earlier, which means there's one less, I think in the Zul'aman patch, there's no longer a PvP season being dropped, a new one. So I think it's still a lot of influx, but they do have a plan of at least how they want to release things, which will be interesting in terms of like how they handle attunements, because like is Hyjal and Black Temple are together, and you needed to do Hyjal to attune to Black Temple.
Yeah.
So
did they say anything about changing the attunements, or is
no? Okay, I hope they don't.
Probably keeping the attunements and just staging out the releases so people aren't like trying to do all the attunements at the same time.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, the Hyjal one only required you to kill the first boss in Hyjal to get into Black Temple. Like Rage Chill was the name. So I mean, it's not a huge lift. Like that's what my guild ended up doing. Literally, like we went in, killed one boss in Hyjal, zoned out, and went and did Black Temple. Once we got all the attunements ready. But I hope they keep them in there. Like the attunement process in BC is honestly probably one of the more memorable parts of that expansion that I played.
Memorable live. Because you needed a fucking map.
Yeah, I mean, like you needed the map. It was such a long thing. It was the idea of doing like the Legion artifact progression, right? Or progression once you hit max. Like this was progression once you hit max in a way that honestly, I mean, it's kind of harsh, I think, in today's games, right? Where you have people jumping in and out and there's so much stuff people can do. But back then when you like essentially dedicated yourself to one game, like it made sense that like you had to walk yourself through this attunement process, which was, I mean, I'm fine with it. I'm fine if they keep it. I mean, they could do the thing they did. They eventually got rid of them, right?
I don't think they did it until the Wrath pre-patch, or maybe it was 2.0. I think it was the Wrath pre-patch, though, got rid of them.
Yeah, to be fair, I thought I remember them earlier, but I mean, in any event. Yeah, I don't remember.
I think they like nerfed the attunement requirements.
Yeah, they could have
during BC, but there were still attunement requirements. I know there were attunement requirements like to do heroic dungeons, for example.
Yep.
You had to get the rep, go buy a key from a vendor, and when BC launched, you didn't have a keychain. They just took up a slot in your bags. If you went to the instance and your key was in the bank, you couldn't go in.
Screwed. Yeah. No, that was, oh god, those were fun times, man. Yeah. So BC, I mean, I think content wise it makes like the way they're splitting it out makes a lot of sense. But it'll be fun to get back in there. Yeah, I hope they don't get rid of attunements, because those things were doing like Mechanar. Oh my god. Like ferrying, like we used to ferry guildmates through that thing. Like it was fun. I guess the only other thing we didn't talk about was like what happens in the transition side. So like what happens to all the current classic realms once BC launches. So just for quick notes, right? The way it works is like essentially every server that's currently active from a classic perspective will become a BC server when they launch. And you have the option per character to either move that character forward in BC, right, to BC, leave it behind in essentially a like copied state on a realm that will never leave classic. Or you can essentially clone it for a fee. So you can basically take the character, create a clone in BC, leave one in classic, and be able to play both. But that one, that cloning costs money, which
they haven't announced the price yet. Hopefully it's not stupid expensive like their character transfer fees are.
Yeah, I mean, but like you'd expect it to be like $15 or something like that. I mean, as a baseline.
Yeah. Hina in chat is saying, I still have some of the keys.
Yeah.
From dungeons. I didn't start playing retail WoW until after they had already gotten rid of keys, so I don't have any keys.
Yeah, you didn't live that experience, so I should check to see if my original Warlock has any.
Yeah, so
that's what it had them, so. But yeah, so that's sort of the era-based expansion, and then they'll have sort of classic-only servers, and then like progression servers. I forget the name they're using it, but servers that will always be on the current patch, right? And then finally, which I am actually very excited for, they have paid boost to level 58.
You get, so there's restrictions. You get one per account. And it's not clear whether this is per, I assume this is per WoW license, not per Battle.net account.
Yeah.
But per account. So you get one that you can use if you want to skip the leveling process. Some of us are busy people and don't have time for that anymore. I am going to try and finish leveling my classic druid before BC hits. That's like, I have that goal for myself. It's level 30, 30 more to go. I'm stuck at that really awkward level 30 spot where I'm too high level for a lot of like Ashen Vale and not high enough level to actually go to the next zones.
Yeah. Like, so, that, like the Desolus sort of like, you're not 32 yet, so you're still a little too level for those intro quests. And that's tough. Yeah, I will probably, I mean, I'll have to see what I have on, I forget what I leveled on Classic. I also probably made it in like the 20s, low 30s. But I really want to play a Shaman. So if I didn't level a Shaman that high, then I'm not playing Classic. I'll just buy the boost. So,
yeah. I mean, I have great memory. I'm going to, when BC Classic lands, honestly, I'm not sure if I would continue leveling the Druid or if I would go and make a Blood Elf Rogue, which, like, super cliche, but that was my first character that I actually played beyond, like, the starting zone was a Blood Elf Rogue. So I didn't actually get a Rogue to cap until Legion.
Really?
But I got all the way, so my first Rogue I took all the way from, you know, the Blood Elf starting area down. I hit like level 55 or something like that, just a little bit shy of where you go and start Burning Crusade. Mm-hmm. So I was down in like Tanaris and doing stuff there, and you know. So I'm definitely doing that. It's just a question of whether I do that first or I go and level my druid first. Because that's my druid is the one that I actually hit 70 on in
Gotcha. BC. Yeah, I only ever to this day, like going through BC, I had only ever leveled a warlock myself. I might have had other characters that were 60, but those were leveled in not the most we'll say like legal ways, right? They might have just ended up gliding their way to 60 somehow. I don't know if you remember that. But yeah, my warlock would have been what I ended up leveling and sort of played the most. So and then that paladin I talked about was actually the second character I leveled myself to 70. So I will, though, I mean, Shaman in that era was just so strong that, you know, it'd be fun to play a class that hit one button again and healed everyone for a million. So that's, we'll try. But yeah,
you,
I mean,
good. Alternately, if you're really invested in the one button thing, I know there's you've got hunters, you got warlocks.
I do.
I think mages were almost one spell.
Gotcha. Was Paladins the 6-9 rotation at that point for tanking?
I don't know.
Yeah, because I know they did that in Wrath. I had literally, when I tanked in Wrath on a Paladin, I had two macros that just hit all my 6-second cooldowns in order, and then my 9-second cooldowns in order. I just hit one and then the other. And it worked out perfectly.
Yeah, I think that was a Wrath thing.
Yeah.
Because I remember those macros.
Yeah, that was a time to be alive when rotations just sort of fell into place, so. But cool. Anything else on BC? I think we covered most of it.
I am super, like, this is, I think, out of everything from BlizzCon, the thing I am most excited about.
Yeah, same. Like, this was, like, personally, this was the time of the game where I started to care more about raiding and sort of care about more about playing the game than in MC, like, or in Classic. Like, I was in a raiding guild at the time. Like, we still raided. It was fun. But, like, when this expansion came out, I realized, like, I really do enjoy all the boss fights. The boss fights became like more exciting. Like, you had Magtheridon where you had to click cubes, which is so much different than everything that had happened before, right?
Yeah.
Gruul and his like stomp that had so much individual personal responsibility about spreading. And then like you fought some iconic characters, right? Like, you killed Kale, Illidan, and killed Jaden, like, in an expansion.
Lady Vash? You're forgetting Lady Vash.
And Vash, sorry. Yeah, and Vash. God, yeah. Like, every end boss was like a major lore character from War 3, which I played which I don't know much about the lore today in typical WoW, but like when I played War 3 a ton, so I knew all these characters. So yeah, it was it'll be fun to go. It's funny, I talked to one of my buddies who he had never played BC, so we played Classic together. He quit and he came back for like Legion or whatever, finally. And he never played BC. So I was like, dude, if we want to get into this, I will quit retail and play BC with you. But like, you need to commit. And I was like explaining like the attunements to him. Cause I was like, if we're doing this, like, this is not a like, hey, we'll have fun on the side. It's like, we quit everything else and we just play this game. but yeah, no, I'm super stoked.
So what you're saying is I might need a new co-host when this comes out.
I mean, I'll, you know, maybe like I'll still be around. Like how about this? I'll do the podcast as long as I can raid. Like
in the Burning Crusade.
Yeah. If I can raid while we do the podcast, like on the side, maybe that'll be cool. So no.
You're gonna day raid in BC.
I mean, maybe we'll see. I might have to get a divorce for that one. We might stick to the nights, but yeah, we'll see.
Okay, one more thing before we move on. How long do you think the BC raids are going to last? Classic raids infamously have been cleared in like 2 hours, every single one.
Yeah. I think it'll be quick. Like, I don't think they last much longer. Like, here's the thing is, like, I know that going to Classic, the Classic private server community was very large, right? And,
yeah.
You had a lot of people that were sort of ingrained.
The Burning Crusade private server community, a lot smaller, a lot fewer Blizz-like options.
Exactly. So I'm assuming they'll last longer. However, I don't think it's going to be like a, you know, Gruul comes out and it's like a 4-day event. It's like maybe like a day or two he lives. Yeah. And then like whatever guild is sort of pushing progression-wise that way, it will kill it. So yeah, I mean, I think the problem is that even pre-nerf, all the strats are known. So it's, that's the biggest thing, is like figuring it out, I think, is what takes so long. And like, you don't have to figure out any of this.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, I think they'll last longer, particularly because they're keeping them in their pre-nerf states. But
right.
I mean, it'll be a couple hours longer, not like weeks longer or days longer. So,
yeah. And it's going to, these bosses are almost all a step above classic bosses in terms of like complexity.
Yeah.
So I would expect that like the world first rekills of them are going to be, you know, I would expect 2-3 days, like you said. Yeah. And it really depends on the tier. Like Gruul, probably less than a day. Something like Vaj, maybe more like the 2-day time frame, just because there's more bosses in there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Gruul was no pushover in his like opening form, right? Like that'll be like a gear thing. That'll just be like, we literally don't have the hit points or the throughput to like do this type of thing. And that's the other problem, not a problem, but like gear progression wasn't what it was, right? Like we didn't get
in classic, gear progression was a lot different.
Yeah. Yeah. So it'll be cool. I definitely think it'll last a little bit longer, but I mean, it's not like they're figuring out how to kill these bosses. Like we already did it 14, 15 years ago. So, yeah.
Yep. Oh man, I'm excited about that though.
Yeah.
But we have yet more WoW news because retail is getting patch 9.1. And we got a fancy schmancy new cinematic for that you should go and watch, because we're going to be talking about it. And spoilers, I guess. This is your spoiler warning.
Yeah. Basically spoilers, for the rest of this.
Yeah. So you want to start with the cinematic?
Yeah, because I think that's what they essentially opened with, the opening cinematic for the patch. And it's interesting. So to lay the land, you essentially have, you know, they do a quick recap of what happened at the end of the last cinematic, which was essentially, they had created this new Mournblade using, what is it, Silamon as a, I think that's how you pronounce it, but like Anduin's sword, which was his father Varian's sword, right? They used his sword as sort of a base, turned it into a Mournblade, and essentially it's Sylvanas basically saying like, it's Anduin telling Sylvanas to make a choice, like either you kill me or you make me submit, you know, I'm not going to make that choice for you, it's your choice. So it sort of flashes back to that, and then it flashes forward to Anduin sort of like walking through Bastion, like the whatever the Bastion Hall places to see the Archon.
Yeah.
And so he's like walking up. There's a nice little moment where like Uther passes by him, and like Uther like stops and like grabs where he was stabbed by Frostmourne, by that Mournblade, right? As Anduin passes, a sort of a foreshadowing, which if you didn't get this already, you hopefully pick this up, is foreshadowing what's about to happen. Right. And essentially,
while we're talking about Uther, did you notice it seemed like he was being guarded?
Yeah, and I don't know if it was so much guarded as like he was helping them do. Well, the problem was that the person in front of him and behind him had things in their hands, if I remember correctly, right? They're kind of like boxes. And like he didn't have anything, but he wasn't like chained up, it didn't look like.
Yeah.
So it seemed like more like he was just like either in the way, or like he was like, they were like showing him around, like, hey, do this. Or whatever. But yeah, it seemed like he like stopped short, and then the guy behind him sort of like bumped him and was like, hey, like keep going. But he didn't look like a prisoner, but to be fair, I don't know. That's an interesting one. We can go back and check. But yeah, of course, like he like of course realizes there's a Mournblade somewhere near, because his like little Mournblade detector, aka the big hole in his chest, starts going off. And so Anduin, you know, walks up to meet with the Archon, and then literally the Archon starts talking, and then Anduin, I don't know if Anduin says anything or just like looks up.
Yeah.
And then like the jailer's voice starts coming out of Anduin. And then of course, like the Archon's like, oh my gosh, she's here. And then like he goes Super Saiyan, like basically slams the ground, like ties up everyone with chains or whatever. And then basically does the whole like leaping at the Archon. And as he's leaping out of this smoke cloud that he just created, his armor shifts from like the golden lion to like the armor of the damned, with like skulls and runes everywhere. And then he stabs the Archon with the new Mournblade, and like sucks out like the symbol of the Kyrian, which is a key that I guess the jailer needs. And then leaves, and then goes back to the jailer and turns over this key to the jailer. And then the jailer is like, we only need three more. We need all the keys to do something. And the shot sort of pans down and up, basically shooting up behind the jailer. And there's like this big landmass set on two chains. It looks like he's like pulling in.
New zone.
Yeah. So that's the way the cinematic ends. It's actually like, corny as it sounds, it's actually pretty cool. I mean, like you knew it was bad. Like the Uther thing, if you didn't realize like Anduin just casually walking through Bastion was not a good thing, like the Uther thing should have set you off that something was about to happen.
Yeah.
And yeah, then like he just went crazy, like not crazy, but like, you know, did his whole movie things.
He had a flash of clarity right after stabbing the Archon, which they confirmed in the Q&A. Archon not dead, just very stabbed.
Lost her key, whatever that means.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, anytime I lose my keys, I'm having a real bad day. So, you know,
it's true.
But he has like a flash of clarity, realizes what he's done, and then the jailer takes hold again.
Yeah. Yeah. So it seems like a mind control that's not like permanent or like full overarching. Like there's some part of Anduin experiencing this as he's doing it, but maybe not being able to control himself, right? I hate it. Like that. Is just mind control is just like to me it's just like a lazy thing, particularly in the context of this where like you realize what it is like before it happens, right? Like you realize that this is not actually Anduin doing what he's doing,
right?
So like even like I don't know, even as he's walking out, like you realize like, hey, this is not the real Anduin.
Yeah, so even though, so I agree in general, however, they aren't doing the thing where like everybody thinks it's still Anduin, like everybody knows this is not Anduin.
That's true.
So they're not playing into that trope, which is good, because that trope sucks, honestly.
Yeah.
So I'm going to call this now. The reason that he's not under the full control of the jailer is that Sylvanas is setting something up. She made her choice, and her choice is to try and play the jailer.
No.
And that's why Anduin is not under full control.
That's fine. That's the case. I'm still killing her.
I mean, yeah. Also, confirmed boss in the next tier. but yeah, that is. I am shooting my shot. I am making that call right now. We're gonna see Sylvanas betray the jailer and try and use Anduin as part of that.
For her, okay, for her own gain or to take down the jailer?
Yes.
So, okay. Okay. Because, like, if it's to take down the jailer, I am less happy about that.
Yeah.
Because then they do the whole, like, I knew he was coming and all everything I did was so that I could do stuff to take him down. Like, that's dumb. But yeah. If it's literally to be like, I want to become more powerful over death and I got to kill the jailer to do that, I'm fine with that. I'm fine with that. So,
yeah.
Interesting. Interesting take. The problem is, like, if she does that, she's literally got, like, half a patch to get that done, right?
Well, like, you're assuming she dies at the end of the raid. Queen Ajara, we killed Queen Ajara. She didn't die.
God, I can't. Okay.
Do you want to start? Still not dead, by the way.
I know. God. It's just that Sylvanas... Before we get off the cinematic and talk about this, let's finish up the so Sylvanas is there, whatever. And then the landmass is, of course, the new zone. The jailer sort of seems to be like pulling out of the nether or whatever they call the space between these worlds, which I guess leaves them open to, like, they can pull anything out of this nebulous, like, area between the zones, right?
Yeah, I think it's literally called the in-between.
Cool. Yeah, so they can pull anything out of the in-between. So that's there. The jailer ends up pulling a new landmass, which ends up being the new, not really zone. I mean, it's just a subzone of the mall. Like, the way they describe it, it's literally like the mall gains a new landmass that you can go to, right? Yeah. Versus like an entirely new zone. So, the cinematic, as always, good. I mean, story maybe not, but the cinematic itself was exciting. Like, everything. I was like super hyped watching it. So, so that's sort of, I guess we can, if you want to move into like the raid discussion, because that's sort of where a lot of this ends up, right?
Yes.
In terms of the raids, they did give us
the new raid, contrary to both of our expectations, I think, yes, is in the mall.
Yeah. I think I said Maldraxxus. I think,
yeah,
that's where I was headed. So,
So straight to the mall. It is called the Sanctum of Domination. There are a few bosses in there that you're going to recognize. We've got Kel'Thuzad confirmed. Sylvanas also confirmed.
As the final boss.
Dom made the prediction that we would fight Kel'Thuzad.
I did say Kel'Thuzad is the final boss in the Maldraxxus instance, so I'm not 100% right, but I did call that we'd fight him again. So.
Yeah. And we're also going to fight the Terror Gru, which you have like a question, like, who is this? This is the thing that kills you in Torghast when you die too many times. It's a big thing.
Oh, I see. I'm a Torghast pro, so I never die too much.
I've had it happen once on like the first week, so.
Gotcha. Okay, so that's what that is. Okay. Yes.
Cool. And then the Eye of the Jailer, which they dropped some hints. If you think back to the Legion, Odin in the warrior campaign has no second eye. Like, he's missing an eye. Or I guess this is probably like showed up in Wrath as well. But Odin's missing an eye. They very heavily hinted that there was plot threads from there. We also know Helya's around, so the Eye of the Jailer
could be Odin's eye.
Heavily
interesting.
Implied.
I did see that they were like something tying into Odin. I didn't realize he only had one eye. So
yeah, Odin's got an eye patch.
He's like 37 feet tall though, so like it was tough.
It's a little hard to notice.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. Okay.
We don't have a lot more information than that.
Other than the boss order and the fact that Sylvanas is the final boss, which means we kill her.
I mean, I am not convinced
she dies. We're
actually going to kill Sylvanas.
She dies.
I, you know, I don't think.
Do not give me. So here's my point. If they do some level of redemption arc with Sylvanas, I am quitting. Okay, I say this. I'm not actually going to quit, but I'm going to be very, very upset. And I probably will pay less attention to the story than I do today, because it's, you can't, like, she burned down Teldrassil. She shattered the Helm of Domination, unleashing the Scourge on all of Azeroth again, right? Like, she literally has mind-controlled Anduin and turned him into some, like, stealth assassin crazy kid, right? She had the Jailer turn, like, Varian Wrynn's, like, sword into some Mournblade that's now, like, Frostmourne 2.0. Like,
So if you look at, I've got on stream pulled up, Odin from Legion, you can see it's a little subtle. I had forgotten how subtle it was, but he does have an eye patch. You can see the blue glowy eye, and then the other eye is just like covered up.
Interesting. But that has nothing to do with the fact that Sylvanas needs to die. Emelson. No, I mean, I would imagine.
I think having her actually die is more satisfying, to be sure. I don't think they're going to do it yet. I think it's going to be something kind of like with Garrosh, where Garrosh got away and then instigated the next expansion and then bit the dirt as part of the leveling campaign for that expansion.
I would hate that. To be fair, so, and I think I'd hate it. I hated the way that they did Garrosh like that, because it relegated his death to like a minor footnote as you climbed the ladder to.
I mean, Maxwell. It was the culmination of the grand story, so I wouldn't call it a minor footnote, but at the same time, nobody did the grand.
Right, like they're
just leveling before they hit the grand.
Exactly. Or like the second time through, like you never got that far. I mean, it's the similar issue I had where they made, you know, Blade Fist the first boss in the first raid, right? Like, I think there are certain lore characters that deserve to go out in a certain way. And like, while I'm super against Sylvanas and think she needs to be killed, not killing her here when she's the final boss of a tier means like no matter what they do with her is like of lesser importance, right? And you know, they could pull the whole redemption thing, fine, it's whatever. They've done it with every other character. Like, it's funny though, I've looked back and I'm pretty sure we have killed zero lore characters that have essentially had their story continued beyond Warcraft 3 lore, right? So like, we killed Kel'Thuzad multiple times, but his lore was essentially done, right? And they resurrected him, you know, after BC. We killed Arthas, right? In Wrath, right? And that finished up that line. Vash we killed, right? In NBC. So a lot of those like War 3 major lore characters died.
Those wouldn't show up again in the Shadowlands because they are dead. And what is dead may never die.
I guess. But I'm just saying that like, don't garage her and like relegate her death to like snuck away in the night, right? Like I think
we're going to see something like what they did with Ajara, where when you kill Ajara, you get a cinematic and she gets yoinked by Nazoth.
So dumb.
I can't. We're gonna see Sylvanas like get yoinked by the Jailer. Here's what I expect to happen at the end of the Sylvanas encounter, okay?
Okay.
So Sylvanas goes to zero HP. And as part of that, now she is ready to try and use Anduin against the Jailer. We get a cinematic. She tries to like betray the Jailer, like she's been preparing to do,
mm-hmm.
and fails and gets yoinked by the Jailer. That's my prediction.
And then do we never see her again?
Oh, I expect we'll see her in Torghast in 9.2.
Hopefully dead.
Quite possibly.
Oh my god. Yeah, I mean, I could see that. I would rather just kill her outright, but.
Yeah, I mean, I would be very surprised if we just kill her.
Yeah.
It's going to be, you know, and I could see her, like, dying in that cinematic, or, like.
Yeah.
Because that's something they could do as well, is this thing where Sylvanas, like, we kill Sylvanas, and as part of that, you know, her little bit of weakening the jailer's control over Anduin goes away, and so we're setting ourselves up for a more difficult fight later, not because she was, like, secretly doing the right thing all along, but because she had her own motivations and was also trying to screw over the jailer.
Right.
And that's, I mean, I could see that happening too.
Yeah, I mean, I guess we'll see, but I don't know. Lore-wise, just, we need to get rid of her. I think it does, though, with her being the final boss in 9-1, essentially puts, like, almost the jailer or something like that as the final boss of 9-2, right? And then...
I think that really depends on what the cinematic is for the ending of the raid.
Well, they've already said that, like, the jailer will not be the final boss of the expansion. So they've come out...
That means it has that. To
and or we never fight him directly.
Or we never fight him directly. Okay, yeah.
Which would be the other thing. But yeah, 9-2 seems...
What if they pull a fast one on us and he's the penultimate boss? He's the second to last boss in the last raid. Gotcha. No.
I can't. I mean, that would actually be kind of... I'd be like, okay, fine, Blizzard, you did it.
You got me.
Yeah, fine. He's not the last one. But yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting to see where they go from here. Because I was, like we said, like, we weren't expecting to go right to the mall. The first patch, right?
Yeah.
But we'll see where we go from here. I mean, there's still, like, a bunch of, like Arthas is still out there, right? So, like, there's still that thread that is sort of lingering. Maybe he makes a comeback, but...
secret boss.
What?
A secret boss.
Yeah, maybe. We'll see. But yeah, that's. I think that's the raid. Other than names of a couple things and that it's a 10-boss raid, they literally gave us zero.
So before we move on, I have one thing that I am super concerned about with this raid.
Okay.
Do you remember Jaina?
I do.
So Jaina was a ranged caster boss that was... an enormous pain in the ass to actually, like, position.
Oh, yeah, she was.
Sylvanas, not a caster, thankfully, but ranged. And I am concerned we're going to run into the same problems. I mean, because they still haven't really solved them. They've papered over them with progressively larger quantities of paper mache.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't even think about that. That'll be... Yeah, I wonder how that fight ends up going. If she does sort of always want to attack with a bow, right? Like, how do you move her? What is the movement of that one? Interesting. Good point.
The worst thing they could possibly do is they're going to take Jaina and Azshara and combine them. So you got all the movement problems of Jaina combined with having to use line of sight to move Sylvanas around like you did to deal with the Azshara mechanics. And so the whole fight is going to be, like, wildly alternating between pissed off that you can't move the boss and pissed off that you're out of line of sight of literally everything.
Yeah. No, please, no more line of sight boss. If they put in another line of sight boss, I might just go by DPS. I might just say F it. Like, I'll just AFK in a corner and, like, hit the boss. Like, I don't ignore mechanics like the people in my raid do and go from there. So.
Yep. As our new raid leader likes to say, just go ook ook.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so anything else on the raid? Cool. So the next PV, we'll stick to the PV theme. They did also sort of announce the new mega dungeon, which did they actually say the name of it? I don't remember.
I don't think they said if they did, it's like some nonsense name that's not going to mean anything to you until you actually do the dungeon. And then it's the name of the dungeon. It's it's in the broker city. Like, the new zone we're getting is a broker city or broker area. Yep. And the dungeon is set in that city. Apparently there's a heist that you deal with as part of the dungeon. But it is an 8-boss dungeon in the same vein as Mechagon. No word yet on how they're going to be splitting it for the future when they turn it into Mythic Plus. It will not be Mythic Plus on release, again, like Mechagon.
Yep. It is Mythic only, though.
Yeah.
So it is considered a Mythic dungeon, which means, like, weekly loot lockouts, things like that. So
yeah. It also is going to have a hard mode.
Yep.
Which is cool. That was a lot of fun in Mechagon. That's not, like, the highlight of patch 8.2 was Mechagon.
Yeah.
Like, the dungeon. The zone was actually, like, pretty cool, but honestly, the dungeon was easily the highlight of that patch. So that's going to be cool. We don't have a lot more information on that, other than we do know there's going to be, like, mounts and things coming from there. They previewed a lot of cosmetic stuff.
Yeah, they did preview one of the bosses from this place.
Oh, yeah.
Which is...
The infinite pirate dragon.
So it's an infinite dragon with a pirate hat dressed up like a pirate. It's so freaking cool.
It's one of those things that it looks dumb as fuck, okay? Let's be honest. It looks fucking dumb.
So good.
But I'll roll with it. It's funny. I like it. I like it a lot.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, it's humorous and, you know, I'll take it.
Yeah. Yeah, no, yeah.
I'm interested, though, if that means we're going to get some more stuff about the Infinite Dragonflight that hasn't shown up since Warlords.
Those are the time dudes, right?
Yeah. Maybe. So they were major players in Cataclysm,
mm-hmm.
then went away until Warlords, and then haven't been seen since.
Yeah, we might. I mean, that's actually a good point. We might see something on them. I mean, the better story for this guy is literally he just like got stuck here and became a pirate, like just like a dragon that was like, I was like surfing the time waves and got ended up here, and I'm like stuck, so I'm gonna be a pirate. Like, that would be the better story.
You are describing a 90s sitcom.
100%. It's like Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, but like it's a dragon that ends up. He's just like, he like lands there and he's like,
Excellent Adventure. The dragon, the Bill is a dragon.
Yeah, exactly. So I hope it's more that is the lore versus like, well, I mean, that's me, but like. Yeah, it would be interesting to see if we're hearing anything more about those guys. The brokers, though, in general, look pretty cool. Some of the models for that stuff looks interesting. And for people who don't know who the brokers are, those are like the weird, like almost like they're almost like the old
Ethereals, basically.
They're the Ethereals, yeah. So it'll be cool to see that zone. And yeah, like Mechagon was Mechagon to this day is maybe not my favorite dungeon, but one of my favorite dungeons. In terms of just like something they dropped in the middle that we weren't expecting. It was fun to do that, even to go through it like the first week or two, like over multiple like off nights, right? With the same group. So yeah, I'm excited. Yeah,
probably the thing that frustrated me most about like the base mythic Mechagon was the lockout thing.
Yeah. But I mean, I bet you it's just because from a technical perspective, they don't have the ability to do like weekly dungeon lockouts.
And I guess like the only place we really broke it is trying to do hard mode. Like we lost somebody and everybody went out and we like went back in and didn't have hard mode anymore.
Just on this, well, I guess we'll get to it because there's some other things I wanted to bring up about this, but we'll talk through everything that's new and then get to the interview roundup stuff at the end. So I think The next stuff, we've sort of talked about this a little bit already. So there is a new subzone. It's Korthia, which is a new subzone in the mall. So it's not a new zone. You would still go to the mall and you will make your way to Korthia. Essentially, the mall sort of changing, I guess, is becoming less dangerous. So as our covenants sort of descend upon the mall, we push.
You don't have this on here, but. Oh, no, you do have this on here later on, but we're going to be able to mount in the mall.
It's dumb. I don't want to talk about it.
I mean, they should have let it like put it in 9.0.5. Nobody's gonna be mad.
I did all 8 layers of Twisting Corridors. I spent 2 weeks spending an hour a night in that place, Emelson. All right, and they're just gonna give it to people for showing up.
Yep. I mean, I have 6 more layers to go. I could do it this weekend. I'm not going to, but I could.
I'm pissed. I'm gonna be that like boomer dude who's just like,
yeah. I'm thinking about my priorities right now, and if I'm gonna spend 8 hours in a row just like jamming WoW, I'm going to go play Classic and work on my Druid instead of doing 8 layers of Torghast.
It was awful. But yeah, so you're right. They are going to let you mount in the mall. Just basically, I guess the idea is from a lore perspective, if you care about that type of stuff, your covenant is, they're all covenants, not your covenant, but all 4 covenants descend into the mall and build a stronghold. And now you're more powerful and you have a better communication with the other worlds. So you can mount now.
Yeah, basically, the Archon getting stabby-stabbied instigates the rest of the covenants to actually do something about it.
Yeah.
And so now do something about it means invade the mall.
Exactly. But yeah, so it's a new subzone, new dailies, there's a new currency for Venari, which I think we'll talk about in a minute. So this is sort of the new content area, new enemies, all that type of stuff. It's where you will continue your probably Covenant campaign with things to do there. You mentioned like new mounts. I think there's a new hand mount, which looks really cool.
It's literally just like a hand that walks around.
Like the old Adams family hand, and you like sit on top of it up here and it sort of like runs around.
Yeah.
Not seeing an anime, just seeing a picture of it looks super cool. So I'm kind of excited about that. Ultimately that's the extent of it, right? Like it's just the new zone, the new story content. The idea is that, you know, Blizzard stated there's no new system. So the idea here is that it's really just more dailies, right?
Like this is going to be the first patch in 4 years that we didn't get a new system.
I don't think we mentioned that actually.
We didn't get the new system was 8.1.
Yeah, which is weird, but good, I guess. I mean,
very good.
Yeah.
Very good. I would say very good.
Yeah, so I mean, it's a lot of tweaks to existing ones, but nothing brand new. So, that's it really for the new actual zone, right? There are going to be Torghast updates too, sort of coupled with this. So you'll see new powers. I think they're adding a wing or two with the new tile set, and then a few new enemy types are coming in. But I mean, in general, it's the new subzone, the dailies that push there. And some changes to the way the base mall looks.
Yeah,
I'm assuming with now your covenants having more of a presence there. So
there's also as far as Torghast goes, they said that they are going to basically you're going to get part of the reward if you get partway through a Torghast run and then fail, or partway through and then have to leave, which is good. You know, nothing was more frustrating than getting to the last boss realizing you literally couldn't kill it with the powers that you had and wasting an hour of your life. They haven't given any details on what that looks like. You know, it might not literally be 7/8 of it for getting that far, but it, you know, you're going to get something for getting partway through a floor, which is a lot closer. Like I complained at length before about how roguelikes, like, when you die, you're supposed to get something, right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And so we're finally actually going to get something. So.
Yeah, that'll be an interesting change to Torghast. To give partial rewards will be nice for people who don't get, easy anima powers to kick it off. So. So that's sort of on that one. A couple other quick hitters here, which not a ton was shown, but. We are getting some Covenant cosmetic updates, meaning we are getting Covenant-specific mounts. So each Covenant will get their own new mount. The Venthyr one is a gargoyle. I'm actually kind of excited about that. The Nightfae one is a weird fox thing. It looks scary as hell. Like, it came out of, like...
It's like the cloud serpent model with fur.
It's worse. With they took the cloud serpent model and textured a fox on top of it in the same geometry. So the fox looks like silly putty, which is, like, pulled. Like, somebody put the fox in the old stretch, the old, like, medieval stretch machine. It was like, all right, bud, now you can fly. And you're, like, long and... I saw it pop up and I had immediate nightmares. I was like, this thing is the most disturbing thing in the world.
I love it. I love it. I'm very happy about that.
it's such a contrast because the face is so fox-like and cute, and you're like, oh, this is like the fox mount that we have today, cute, and you're sort of like going, you're like
the rest of it, and it keeps going and going and going.
Like, what the f is like, what? So yeah, that's super disturbing. But we're getting those, and then we're also getting covenant specific armor that is not armor type specific. So it's like the heritage armor or something like that, where it's just a transmoggable set.
Yeah. They previewed all of the armor on human males, even though some of it is very clearly not designed for human males. If you look at the Night Fae one, which like Night Fae gets four colors, one for each season, it looks, I honestly have no idea how it looks because they previewed it on, again, a human male, and like it's got like midriff showing, very clearly designed for not the human male model. Like the only way it probably could have been more awkward is if they showed it on like a male panda or a male Tauren. Or actually, female Tauren might have been more awkward, but you know.
That's awesome. I didn't actually notice that, but that's pretty funny.
It was like, I was looking at that and going, why don't you show it on, like, instead of showing us the same human male with every one of these tints, why don't you do like, okay, here's your human male, because you gotta have it. And, yeah. You know, here's a night owl female, here's, I don't know, an orc. Maybe you throw in something really bizarre, like a troll. Maybe you like, yeah,
something the same model over and over again. So,
or you like when the Venthyr one comes out, maybe you show it as on the blood elf in addition to the human, because right. Yeah, I don't know. It's just that's always really annoyed me, and it really annoyed me here because some of it was like. Honestly, really not good on human male. Like, I feel bad for people to play human male, but at the same time, I don't, because they have a bunch of. If you're human male, you're playing a paladin or a warrior, and you're or a priest, and you're okay. Like, you have lots of good armor types for those.
Yeah, you'll be good. You'll be good. But yeah, so this is the at least the updates there. They also they didn't mention this in the actual presentation, but they are continuing the Covenant campaign with 40 additional renown levels.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fuck ton of renown levels. Like,
yes.
And I'm wondering, it's funny, I saw a couple tweets about this and some people getting mildly upset, right? That the fact that, like, I'm going to be grinding renown for the entire expansion. And I guess I immediately was like, yeah, that sucks. And then I thought about it and was like, renown isn't, you don't really grind renown. Like,
yeah.
Renown is like a like story progress checklist, right? Like, did you do the story this week, yes or no? And it's just in the UI you gain a level that, like, I did level 4. Yeah,
I am, you know, the best part is if you fall behind on renown, it's so easy to get. You literally just play the, like, if you have to like not do your renown levels for a week, like, you can go and rate for the week and just get your renown levels from last week using that. Like, yeah. It's fine. This is infinitely better than the AP system, like, not even in the same universe. And I mean, my biggest problem with the renown system we have right now is that every couple of weeks the soul collect souls quest just like gets longer for no reason. Like, we're up to 20 souls now. It takes 4 times as long as it did the first time.
Yeah, I noticed that too. I
can't wait for us to be doing this in patch, you know, 9.3. It's gonna be like, we're gonna go to the mall, we're gonna collect 122 souls. It's gonna be great.
Be there for like 6 hours. Like, yeah. Like, you actually can't do it in like the week it needs it because your Eye of the Jailer just ends up being too high at a certain point where like every day you're maxing it out just by clicking souls. And like, it's like, got my 10 today. Guess I can't come back for 24 hours. So, yeah, I mean, that quest is annoying, but.
You know, random tangent. I would love if the Eye of the Jailer, like, it, either killing it on Mythic should just remove the Eye of the Jailer entirely from the mall, or it should drop an item that you can get that while you're wearing it, you just don't get any progress on it. Because, like, they have the ring that you can get off of, I think, Council.
Isn't it all Denathrius? It's one of the, I thought it was all Denathrius.
Maybe it's Denathrius. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't remember.
And yeah, it is Denathrius. You're right. It reduces the rate at which you get Eye of the Jailer stuff. Like, I think killing the Eye of the Jailer, obviously, there's no more Eye of the Jailer. You should just be immune.
Yeah. It would be cool if they did the classic approach where if someone on your server killed the mythic version of Eye of the Jailer, it turned it off. But it wasn't, like, across the region. So it was, like, you'd have to wait till, like, the best progress guild on your server. Then you tie in, like, classic, and it'd be so cool. Oh,
that'd be really cool.
People would hate that. People would honestly freak the fuck out, like, on the forums.
I mean, the Eye of the Jailer, like, on my server, the Eye of the Jailer would basically be off. Well, are you saying it would just, like, kind of like Sunwell style turn off entirely? Or are you talking more like Onyxia's head kind of thing?
No, like Sunwell turn off, or like AQ gates opening type of, like, server specific thing has to happen for it to.
That would be cool. Yeah,
it'd be a neat little flavor thing, but
that would actually be really cool. I would like that, because then, like, you know, basically, you know, 2 weeks into Mythic, you know, a month into the patch, basically, the Eye of the Jailer would just go away forever.
Yeah, which would be awesome. Servers. It'd be cool. So, but yeah, there's not too many other Covenant updates, right? Other than that, the story continues, right? And some of the armor and mounts.
I did mention, it sounds like we're getting basically Legion invasions, but with Covenants.
And the Maw itself.
The Maw stuff. But yeah.
Not too much.
I guess, except this time it's going to be the Covenants invading the Maw and we're helping them instead of the other way around.
Right, yeah. Which is weird, but yeah, they'll be there. And then they did talk a little bit about season 2 rewards. So, like, PvP, KSM are just recolors of season 1, which.
A little disappointing.
Yeah, like, really, it's funny. So, this is sort of the final big thing before I think the next section we wanted to talk about was just like everything that came out of interviews, right? So, it wasn't a part of the major, which we talked a little bit about some of that stuff. But if you look back what we've talked about right now, it's been the raid, the new Mechagon, or sorry, the new broker dungeon, a new subzone, and some, like, potentially cosmetic and, like, iterative updates to other, you know, major systems. To me, that's not a lot, right? Yeah. Like, there's the bare minimum of what I would consider a 0.1 or 0.2 release, right? Which is a new raid tier, right? Like, but there's really not much beyond that in terms of, like, other content, which to me is disappoint, like, it's disappointing.
So we're getting a raid. We're getting basically a mini raid. The dungeon's got 8 bosses. It's basically a mini raid. And honestly, we're getting that. We're getting that, and we're getting a new zone. My understanding of it is going to be basically a zone.
Okay, fair enough. Fair enough.
Like, if the Maw is actually, like, basically two zones, like, jammed together. So that's true. I'm expecting it to be basically a full zone. Probably not as big as, like, Argus was, but Argus was huge.
Yeah, that place was massive, yeah.
But, like, this is, I think, a good amount of content. If you compare it to, like, 8.1, where we literally just got BOD and more war campaign. There wasn't even a new dungeon. Like,
that's fair.
That's, you know, one of the weaker patches in the history of the game. Although I guess we did get the mini raid, like, partway through that patch, so it wasn't all bad. I think this is a good amount of content because, like, and we're getting the new story stuff. And part of the reason I say I think it's a good amount of content is that I am fine if the main game, like the retail game, doesn't have an overwhelming amount of content so that I can go and play other things. And if that means I go and play Burning Crusade, that's fine. That means if I go and play, like, Total Warhammer 3 is coming out, I think, this year. If I want to go and play that, I'll have time. You know, I can go and do other things than just play WoW in my free time.
This is not what we're going to do with you. you know, playing other games.
You're the one that needs a new co-host.
That's true. No, I mean, when you phrase it like that, I guess it makes sense. It seemed like maybe from an overall content perspective, probably enough. It's just the detail. I guess the details were light.
I think the detail is certainly lacking. Yeah. They did say PTR for 9.1 will come out as soon as 9.0.5 lands, which
right. So we're close.
Is going to be in like 3 weeks, 4 weeks. So we are going to know a lot more pretty soon.
Yeah.
No more scrounging for podcast topics, I guess.
Exactly. I have a ton of stuff to talk about then. So, you're right. Disappointing was probably the wrong word to use there. It was probably more like just light on details. So
I think the thing that disappointed me most out of all of this is hearing that we would not be getting tier sets.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think, yeah, if you want to, I guess we can jump to like, they did a bunch of interviews, right? Post a lot of these announcements. So there's a bunch of, I guess, topics. Yeah, we can start with tier sets as one of them, right? So no tier sets.
Yeah.
At least in 9-1, right?
Yeah. And this is my interpretation of this is they said we were going to be getting them in a later patch. I don't think they literally said 9.1, but everybody was clearly thinking 9.1.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that we're not getting them now, along with some of the stuff that Ian hinted about later that we're going to talk about in a bit. Mm-hmm. I am no longer expecting to get tier sets this expansion.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think the comment in one of the interviews, and I thought I had it up here. I do. So yeah, the comment, it's probably been asked by multiple outlets, but Wowhead, at least I have the Wowhead interviewed up here, right? Basically it was answered by Jeremy Fiesel in this one. And he essentially says like, it's a concept that they think is really cool. So describing it as a concept here, it's definitely not 9-1, right? But 9-2, you're right, is probably somewhat of a stretch, right? And then they answer the question not with like, hey, this is what we're thinking, or like, hey, this is something we're trying to fit in. They answer it in basically essentially saying like, oh, but you can transmog all your Sanctum of Dominion gear to match your legendaries and you'll have a legendary looking set, which is like a fucking cop out. Like,
no. Yeah,
it's a non-answer. It's like, we think the concept of tier sets, which we originally created 15 years ago, is cool, and you can transmog your gear to look like your legendaries. Did we throw you off the scent that we have fucking no idea how we're doing this, and if we are at all? Like, this is like this sort of answer. Oh my god, this is like the epitome of why I hate answers to this. Is like, if you are thinking about doing it in a future patch, literally say that. Like, say we are thinking about implementing tier sets. It is on our plate to designing it in the game. We don't know if it will be in the game in 9.2. We know it's not in 9.1, potentially 9.2. We will let you know more as we get closer to that patch, right? But this is like the concept of tier sets is cool, dudes. You can transmog yourself to look like legendaries. That answer the question?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know. Sorry, maybe I'm off on a tangent of like reading too much.
No, you're
like
spot on.
But it's just like, it just answer like, and then like they end it with like, not for 9.1, but potentially for future patches. Like the middle part about telling me I can transmog my gear to look the same because you're doing some art shit has no bearing on like, people don't want tier sets because they looked the same.
Okay, so there's two different audiences, right? There's the audience that doesn't care about the mechanics of tier sets and wants them because they want class specific sets. They want class sets. That's what they want. And then there's the people like us that want the actual, like, mechanically speaking, tier sets.
Right.
And that's all I want. And jumping around a little bit, Ian talked about the fact that they are going to have a new reward system for raids, We don't have basically any details yet. But what he said has me a little bit concerned after living through BFA. So what he said, Anam's got the quote in here. We do have some exciting plans in the works to also give a special exciting reward to raiders who are going into the Sanctum of Domination, which is the new raid. And maybe even being able to tinker with some of the very power of Domination itself that lies within as they get unique armor pieces and more. We'll have a lot more to say about that system as the PTR goes up, but for raiders, we hear you. We understand that at times it has felt like you've been overshadowed by dungeon runners and PvP-oriented players. So first off, I am getting major corruption vibes from this one.
Yeah.
If we get corruption again, I'm quitting.
I'm done. Yeah. I mean, yeah, like that's, it's funny, like, I read that and I didn't actually get the vibes until like, so I put the quote in, to be fair, I just like quickly skimmed it. But as you read it, as soon as you were like, be able to tinker with the very powerful or the very power of domination itself, I'm like, fuck, that's just corruption. You're right.
So, like, that's, and I could see this going a lot better than that, because it could basically be tier sets, but you get to pick the piece they go on. So if you get a good job, then you put your tier piece basically in that slot, and like, if that's what it is, like, great, let's go, I'm all for it. But that doesn't seem what he's describing, so I guess we'll know a lot more in 3 weeks, and until then I'm gonna be a little bit nervous that we're getting corruption 2.0.
I don't know anything else other than like, that just is not,
I read that and I went, oh no, we're not getting tier sets because they got distracted. They went, ooh, shiny, and built a new system.
Brought back corruption. Only it's corruption, but you don't, there's no bad parts about it. You just get so much power on your armor. It's like you can't become, you become encumbered, right?
Yeah. And then like the unique armor pieces makes me think of Azerite. So like, I don't know, honestly, just BFA poisoned the well for them doing any kind of like offbeat power progression system. Like, just give me a fucking tier set.
Yeah. That's I agree.
Just give me a tier set. That's all I want you to do. Don't give me a legendary. Don't give me an artifact. Don't give me Azerite. Don't give me corruption. Don't give me any of that shit. Give me a raid boss that has on its loot table a token that I can go to a vendor and get a tier piece. That's it.
And I want to be forced to equip either two or four of them. I want to be forced to do that. Hell, I want to be forced to either equip three or five of them, like the old view, or the the 2 and 5 with the old system, right? Like, I want to collect every piece I can. Let's go to 8-piece tier sets, and you only get a power at 4 and 8, and I'm perfectly fine with that.
Yeah. So, and like, you know, maybe we'll hit the PTR, and I will be open to more things that don't involve lots of grinding outside. Like, if we get there, and it's like, you have to spend anima on unlocking your raid pieces, then, I mean, no. But if it's like, if it's the same kind of thing where you get a, if it's anything where you get a drop from a boss that is literally on its loot table, there's a lot of flexibility there. But basically, I want tier sets. Give me tier sets.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm on board with those needing to come back. Because to old Jeremy Fiesel's, you know, old, oh, what's his Twitter name's like Muffnins, he's the seer guy, he seems like a really great guy, but like, tier sets are still a concept you really enjoy and we think it's super cool, like, then why did you remove it? Like, come on, guys. Yes.
Talking about bad times in tier sets, so in Legion we obviously had the 2+4 stuff, or if you go all the way back to the Burning Crusade, you can do 4+4 with the BT set.
Yeah,
and the Sunball set from Hina in chat is like 4+4, and you know, that can stay in the Burning Crusade.
No way, man, that was fun. You could actually go all the way back. I mean, to be fair, you could do somewhat like that with AQ40 sets. We need the 0.5 tier there if you wanted to get crazy, although I think that was less of a thing Yeah, but yeah. No, I mean, the combining would be fun. But yeah, in any event, tier sets sounds like, yeah, to your point, that like Fiesel's comment plus, you know, old Ions or Ian's, Mr. Hazekosis is, seems like they are a not a 9-dot release type thing.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll surprise us, but yeah. I guess a couple other things that came out of some of these interviews outside of this. So Stygia as a currency, just some quick ones, right? Stygia as a currency is only going to be for season one. So I think I mentioned this a little bit, like with the whole mall updates and things like that. There will be a new set of rewards you can earn and buy, but it'll be with a new currency. So spend your Stygia because it's only season one stuff. They already changed sockets that only work on season one gear. So there's no point in holding on to sockets beyond, you know, this first patch. You know, do that. Spend your Stygia. Flying is being enabled. I put this twice, but so flying is enabled or is going to be enabled essentially through completing your Covenant campaign. So they at least initially just said, hey, you can fly, and that was the basis of it, but they released a couple more details in one of the interviews. And essentially said, like, look, there's no rep grind to do. There's no sort of, you know, traditional Pathfinder. Yeah. It's just do your Covenant campaign. I think it's either max it out or get to some point of the story, and then you unlock flying, and it's account wide. And flying starts at level 50. So as soon as you enter, as soon as you enter the Shadowlands, your alts and stuff like that can fly. The only thing that's restricted is flying in the mall. You cannot fly in the mall. You can mount now, because they give everybody everything for free and don't reward people who literally ground out 8 hours of their life in Torghast.
I mean, maybe if you do layers 16 of the Twisting Corridors, you get a flying mount.
Nope. I will actually still do that, but that's fucking terrible.
But yeah, I mean, we have some other stuff that's coming as well. Like they mentioned Empowered Conduits, which is, I'm having a hard time imagining a more boring sequence of words. But I'm on the record as really not liking the conduit system. And I think some of that is coming from the background of tanking, where most of the tank conduits are really bad.
Well, I think, Emerson, you have to think about it, right? Like, if you can double the power of a conduit that has, like, let's say, like a 0.2% increase in, like, your damage, and you double that, you know, that's
a whole 0.4. Great.
I mean, it's doubled. That's what doubling does. If I'm not hugely great at math, but like, I'm
pretty sure that's that checks out.
Sounds like super Brewmaster inspiring.
Actually has a good conduit, like one singular good conduit. So, maybe. But they don't have any examples of it at this time, much like the raid ward stuff. So we're going to have to see what comes out when the PTR lands for patch 9.1.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. And then there's a couple other interesting things. There's no more customizations coming in the next patch, which is, I mean, not traditionally, but they had been releasing like heritage armors and things like that. And some of these like
the armors are basically taking that slot.
Yeah. And then what else? Just quick here. They're not making any changes to covenant swapping restrictions, so those are staying the same, which I think was interesting. I think that's it in terms of like wrap up stuff.
So I don't know if we read the same interview.
Yeah.
So what they said for covenant swapping.
Oh yeah.
So they're gonna be buffing covenants for classes that don't see a lot of use. So like, I don't know. Like we've already seen the 9.0.5 Necrolord Warriors getting big buffs. I would expect to see more big buffs like that to things like Venthyr Monk that literally nobody plays.
Yep.
But they also, Jeremy Fiesel said in the Wowhead interview, so I think that in both of these content updates, we are going to be seeing more frequent covenant swapping, and it's something that we need to be sensitive to. We need to be listening to player feedback about how it feels to try out some of these new things now that we're increasing their power levels and make that not feel bad. So we're going to look at what it feels like to transfer a max renown character through a couple different covenants to try a couple different things. So it is something that they are going to look at. They don't have any concrete plans to reduce the covenant swap restrictions, but I would not be surprised if we get at the very least a reset on covenant swap cooldowns and like a freebie covenant swap, so you can swap to a new covenant. In response to buffs.
Sorry. I thought you were going to be like, oh, they're going to add this new way to do it, just in the course of a normal game. But okay, in response, if they make, substantial changes to a covenant, do they let you switch to that covenant more easily, or just switch covenants in general more easily? Yeah. I'd agree to that.
It was a little bit telling that, in my guild chat, when the announcement was happening that, the covenants are coming together, half the guild was like, no more swapping restrictions, and then got immediately deflated when they realized that's not what it meant.
That's, yep, exactly. So, that's funny. And the only other thing we haven't really talked about was I know we talked a little bit last week, but the Valor Point system. And I think they said that the achievements for that are account wide. So getting KSM on, I don't know if it was in the WoWhead article or WoWhead interview or one of the other ones, but getting KSM on one character should essentially be an account-wide achievement that applies to all of your alts too.
So from the WoWhead interview, Fiesel said he's not sure if it's account-wide.
Gotcha. I'm pretty sure I picked that up from somewhere. It might have been
I know there was a question about it in the Q&A. Mm-hmm. I don't remember what the answer was, but it came up in a couple places. It's a very common question. I think, another question that's in the Q&A is whether we're going to get 226 gear with Valor Points. And right now the answer is still no, but they are, quote, listening to player feedback.
Yeah, okay.
So I would, I don't know. It's, they need to, they can make it not literally conquest. Conquest, you get the best gear in the game by doing PvP, right? And you spend your conquest points, you buy the pieces you need. They can make Valor Points the same and give you the best gear in the game from doing the highest keys. And that's fine. That's totally fine. That works. Let's go. They could also make it more convenient. If you have multiple characters, your Keystone Master achievement counts for all your characters. And that would be nice for people like me that want to play multiple tanks, or just multiple characters in general. I'm making gearing up alts a lot easier. And if that's the way that they make Valor Points better, I'm going to be disappointed, but it won't feel as bad as just Valor Points being worse Conquest Points.
Yeah. Yeah, true. True. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. We'll see how the system plays out. I'm not dialed in. I'm not a huge fan of it right now, but we'll see what they do. So, there was one other thing I wanted to... Oh, okay. So there was two other topics. I put one of them in the notes, but there was one I wanted to talk about just before that. Was they did... You get a couple of questions on the faction imbalance, right?
Yes.
Which is something we touched on, right? I think it might have been last week, right? Where they closed the Horde Hall of Fame, which is basically the first 100 guilds within Reset, right? So the first essentially 100 guilds to kill Sire to Nathras go in the Hall of Fame, and you get a title for your guild, right? And it's faction-based, so the first 100 Horde guilds that do it, first 100 Alliance guilds that do it, each get the title. When the Horde hit their 100th guild, Alliance had 12 or something, or 10 guilds that had killed Denathrius. So, the imbalance is massive at the high end. There was a couple of questions, and I guess, Blizzard's going to know this better than everybody else, right? The imbalance at any sort of competitive Mythic level, like Mythic Plus level, or any sort of competitive level in WoW, whether that's raiding, Mythic Plus, or PvP, you are ultimately going to be Horde, right?
Yeah.
Because that's where the population is. It's not that Horde is somewhat intrinsically better, the racials are better.
Ian, acknowledged that in the Q&A, which I was happy to see, because I mean, he basically said it's a social problem and we need a social solution. And I don't necessarily agree with that latter part, but it is a social problem.
Right, yeah.
So he also would not deny, like, the interviewer asked, you know,
excited,
is making PvE content, like, doable with, queueable with both Horde and Alliance players, is that off the, can we assume that that's off the table? And Ian was like, no. That's not off the table.
No. Which is a very different sort of tone that they've taken in the past with this, I feel like. I think previously they've essentially like not answered the question or really just sort of talked around it, right? Maybe if they have, they've always gone back to like Warcraft is about the, you know, the conflict between Horde and Alliance, right? It's sort of their answer.
I think in BFA especially, they were hoping that the Hall of Fame system would boost raid participation on the Alliance. What ended up happening is that the Alliance Hall of Fame is basically a joke. Like, there are the guilds at the top of it that are very good guilds that, you know, would also be in the Horde Hall of Fame because that's how good they are. But there's 45 guilds in the Alliance Hall of Fame right now. I just pulled it up. There's 45. It's not even half full. Actually a reasonable chance that my guild, either, maybe not, I'm hopeful that my team on the weekend team would be able to get it. I don't think we're going to quite scrape in there, like, to get our virtual Alliance Hall of Fame, but I'm pretty sure that it's possible. The midweek team in our guild just started Denathrius last week, and it's entirely possible that they actually kill Denathrius before the Alliance Hall of Fame closes. And that's not even...
It's ridiculous.
Yeah. So, I don't think it worked out because they tried to make this system where, you know, both factions get their own leaderboard, and everybody's like, so that leaderboard's a joke.
Yeah. Versus like, yeah, I want to head over there and get on it. Yeah, I mean, and he also mentioned too, the other things they've done in game, like giving bigger PvP rewards to the lesser populated faction, which essentially just meant that like Horde always had 10% and never higher, right? Or whatever the percentage increase was. So yeah, I mean, I agree. It's definitely a social problem, you know. He, it's funny enough, he actually addressed the reason it probably ended up happening was because of the fact that, what was it? It was like the Kata era of Horde racials were just ridiculously overpowered. Like Orc was so good from like a stun resistance perspective, still is. And stuns were such a huge, you know, part of PvP in that area. And then from a PvE perspective, right, you had, you know, Blood Elves and their mana return was great from a healing perspective. You know, the silence, AoE silence was great.
I mean, if we go all the way back to the Burning Crusade, if you were playing a Paladin, Seal of Blood, again, way better than Seal of Vengeance. And the troll, the Berserking racial has been around for ages. And that's one that is worse now than it was earlier on. Like, it was stronger in the past.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, I mean, I agree, at least it's nice that they're addressing it. And I actually agree that they never solve this, right? This becomes an in-game thing where like you have a mercenary like system that's analogous in PvE, right? Yeah. And I don't think that generally will hurt the game because like, to be fair, like we have not had a like open conflict between the other faction in a very, very long time, right? Like,
what do you mean? We had BFA. It's right in the name.
It's just like, yeah, like just like MOP was all about the factions hating each other. Like, come on. Like the idea, like the last time I feel like we've actually ended up having something similar to that is like when you do world events where you put the factions racing each other and you put them in similar places. But today it doesn't matter because my server would just win and crush the four people who play Alliance, right? Like, and that's, it is what it is. So like there's, I think it's too far down the path of actually like building in something like,
yeah,
to shift people to factions.
There's things they could do, like if they gave every, like if they just said, if they came out tomorrow and said faction transfers to Alliance are free, like just guild transfers, character transfers, everything from Horde to Alliance, totally free. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that would fix things, but it would mean that, you know, if someone wants to go and trial for an Alliance guild, they're not having to pay $30 to trial it and then potentially have to pay $30 to come back.
Right. You know? Yeah.
It's lower risk. So yeah. I don't think that would fix it because ultimately there just aren't that many Alliance guilds left.
Yeah.
But it would help.
Yeah. And to Ian's point, I think he did make the point that it's very much a high end like issue. Like in terms of overall faction balance, the factions are much closer just in terms of players playing each. But when you do anything competitive, it's really a, you know, your Horde or you're, you know, in one of the four guilds that still raid Alliance for some dumb reason. So,
yeah. I mean, and it is also actually a lot from server to server because, like you mentioned, your server is very, very Horde dominated. The server that I was on at the beginning of Legion was very Alliance dominated. Mm-hmm. And it's like, so it's a problem at the server level and a problem at like the high end rating level and a problem almost nowhere else.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So
but, that's a tough one. I am all for let us just play both. Like, let me make a Draenei Shaman and come and raid with my Horde guild. Like, let me do it. I don't care.
Gross. I'd be gnome. I'd just be a gnome.
You can be a gnome shaman. I don't care.
I'd be a gnome monk. Come on. Why are we picking shamans here?
I don't know.
Speak of Serenity, Emelson.
I mean, okay.
I definitely need a new co-host.
But maybe I would switch it to an Alliance panda.
Gross. Like, honestly, it's fucking terrible. God. The worst race, man. So that's like, yeah, they talked a little bit about faction and balance, stuff like that. The other final point is Dreadlords are coming back. So I don't know if we touched on this when we talked lore or just in general, but I think it was probably you because honestly, because we talked about what would be interesting to see certain bosses or certain people to come back. And I mentioned the demons, right? I mentioned like Mal'Ganis or like someone like that, right?
Yeah. We were talking about possibly having another Dreadlord boss.
Exactly, yeah. And now they basically all but confirmed that like the Dreadlords are, we are going to see Dreadlords at least in patch 9.1. Whether we actively engage them or not, they're just going to be around, which brings up a lot of interesting lore points that I read through because I am now the lore connoisseur, if you will. I that rhymed inappropriately because I didn't, it was not my plan there. There's a podcast interview on the Starting Zone, which is a WoW podcast. And they sort of talk to, again, Mr. Feasel and old some other dude, Frank. He has a very long last name. I'm not going to mispronounce it. I believe it's Polish. And they sort of talk a little bit about Dreadlords and their influence, right? And where we may see them. And it's interesting that some of the influences are going to be there from the Dreadlords, sort of back from even Sargeras's time and some of like the whispers you hear and things like that. So the whispers that like Sargeras heard about a certain like sort of plane and people and things like that. So it'll be interesting to see Dreadlords come back and that sort of Burning Legion stuff. So we will we were somehow right in terms of saying like, hey, maybe we get a Dreadlord like that. Cause was it, did you ask the question, right? You were like, what happens if a Dreadlord dies in the Twisting Nether or like a demon dies?
I think you asked that question.
Oh, okay.
And yeah, what happens? We don't know.
Well, apparently they come to the Shadowlands cause everything does.
Okay. Let's have one more hot take before we close out the show, okay?
Okay.
We're going to see the Dreadlord. It's going to be the, like, plot twist in this story for patch 9.1 is in the Broker Zone. We're going to run up at the tail end of it. We're going to run up against the Dreadlord influence. We're going to run into the Dreadlords. And that's going to set the stage for patch 9.2, where we're going to see a lot more heavy involvement, including a Dreadlord boss. I don't think we're getting a Dreadlord boss in 9.1.
Okay. So you think 9.2 Dreadlord boss. Okay. Okay. Interesting.
I'm calling that now. I've made like multiple predictions. We're going to have to do a recap episode.
And yeah, see we will. I'll have to literally rewatch this and be like, all right, this is what Emilson said. This was that. I mean, I'm going to agree. I'm going to go there with you. I definitely think we see a Dreadlord boss in 9.2. I'm actually going to probably say that we don't actually end up seeing their influence until the raid.
Okay.
So I'm going to push it back a little bit in the story. Oh my God. No, that's what Sylvanas is doing. So didn't Sylvanas and the Dreadlords hate each other? I thought that she had beef with the Dreadlords. And what is she literally just getting close to the jailer because she knows the jailer is working with the Dreadlords and she's actively going to be like, just like stab. I think you're so right. She stabs the jailer, but then she's actually doing it so she can go after the Dreadlords. And then we're like coming in like, go Sylvanas, save everything. Fuck, I hate her. I just woke up my wife. God damn it.
So Varimothras, if you remember the Wrathgate, Varimothras is the Dreadlord behind that.
Oh my God.
And so we killed Varimothras in Legion. But is he actually dead? Nobody knows.
Oh my God, no. No. No.
That would actually make so much sense with Sylvanas. Is it if Varimothras shows up at the end of the next raid, like as part of the Sylvanas encounter? That would be wild.
Yeah. I mean, with Blizzard's ability to not or inability to actually kill off major lore characters in the past couple years, like this makes sense. Well, potentially, yeah. It's a thread that would not seem too far out there in terms of like the lore, but God, dude, that would just be dumb, man. I just wanted to die.
So I guess one more thing. Did you catch in the Q&A when they were talking about Bwansamdu? They talked about how they made him a much bigger character than they had originally planned after they saw the performance of the voice actor or heard the voice actor.
Yeah. I caught that, yeah.
They also said that, like, the reason that Denathrius doesn't die at the end of Castle Nathria is because the person that was writing it was like, I think I want this character to come back later. No concrete plan for it right now, but they want to have that in their back pocket. And it's like, okay, so this is why none of these characters stayed.
Right, because they literally can't write new characters, man. Like,
I mean, Denathrius is a new character, but and Bwansamdu is a new character. But at the same time, like, they don't want to let go of the old characters ever.
But they don't, like, they're new characters, but, like, Bwansamdu lasted, I mean, he's back, right? But, like, in essence, he was supposed to last expansion, right? Yeah.
And Denathrius,
like, they don't write, like, even, like, Zappy Boy, who I don't remember his name, but, like, where's he at? Like, where, like, you know,
he's on
like,
the war council for the Horde.
Oh, what? Fuck. Okay, so he's doing something with his life. Congratulations. I mean, like, all I'm saying is, like, they don't write these, like, long-standing characters. And to your point, at the same time, they don't kill off long-standing characters.
Yeah.
Like, and that's they need to. Like, 100%, if Anduin dies too, I'd be fine with it. Even though I like the little dude, if he was, like, at the end of it, like, somebody was, like, the Covenants were like, we can't let him live because he, you know, helped the jailer even though he was under control. Yeah. Like, and they killed him, I'd be like, cool. Like, let's kill some people, Blizzard. Like, at this point, I want them to just kill off one. I just wanted them to kill off one major character this expansion that has been around for longer than 5 minutes. All right? So, like, anybody new introduced at the start, any of the Covenant people die, don't care. But, like, they kill Sylvanas, awesome. They kill another, like, Tauren Warchief leader, even better. Bane dies, I'm on it. Like, let's just go through that fucking family, man. just knock them out. Like, I'm perfect. They actually, to be fair, that's the only Horde people they've ever killed have been like the Tauren. They've got fucked every time.
Even they killed not dead.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. So, in any, sorry, I'm gonna get a little bit of a tangent here, but yeah, no, I actually, you're right. Like, this whole, like, maybe that's Sylvanas's actual play.
From chat, Jasher suggested, I bet Dreadlords are going to be the most powerful entities, and they are at full power in the Shadowlands.
Aren't they demons?
I don't think they're demons.
So like, they're not from like the twist. What's the demon right. place? Mardoon. Is that the demon home? Yeah, or the?
I think there's like so like demon is like they've retconned this where like it used to be they were all the same like kind of thing.
Yeah,
and that's why they all have the same creature type. The only reason they still have that creature type in game now is for mechanical reasons. Because uh-huh. the lore explanation now is that they're just like from all over the universe. Like every different kind of demon, you know, is from a different planet, basically. And so the Burning Legion is a lot of different races from all across the universe that basically were conscripted by Sargeras.
Gotcha.
The Dreadlords are separate from that. And that's my current understanding is that they are not like demons. And based on the stuff that we got at the beginning of Shadowlands, I kind of think they're not even from, you know, I don't know what our universe. I think they're from the Realm of Death. I think that's the implication I got. But right. they could actually be just like contacted.
You are actually, I believe, correct. So I'm quickly skimming the WoWpedia, number one source for WoW lore out there. And apparently they are basically called the Nathrezim, is the common term for a Dreadlord. And I think Hannah's also saying like Dreadlords are apparently integrated into the Burning Legion. They are not like the base race of the Burning Legion. They are different than like Kil'jaeden and Sargeras and those guys, right? Who are more like Eredar. Demon lords, right. I believe the Eredar are the ones that are tied to wherever we killed them. What's the name of that place in Legion?
So Kil'jaeden is from Argus, right?
That's the Jedi Argus. Yeah.
But Sargeras came there with the Burning Legion, right?
I get, dude. This is where I don't.
Yeah, I don't know. This is part where some of it got retconned, and I'm not entirely sure what's new and what's old.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
Because like there's the BC lore and then there's the Legion lore and they're not the same.
Yeah. Oh, and Illidan destroyed Nezreth. Apparently, according to BC lore, Illidan destroys the home of the Dreadlords. Nathrezza. Which is where the Nathrezim are from, the Dreadlords. In any event, yeah, it sounds like Dreadlords are like considered separate. So maybe you're right. Maybe when they die, they actually end up in Shadowlands, which is why Sylvanas was trying to get back at, you know.
Yeah. I don't know. We have thrown out a lot of crazy conspiracies today. We're going to see some of them potentially come to fruition over the course of the next patch.
And Sylvanas.
Like I said earlier, we're not going to do a Q&A today. We are already running long.
That's true. That's a big one.
So I think we're going to wrap up the show there. There's a lot of news from this week. And
it's a lot of game to play. It's funny that I'm more excited about the story now. Now that we sort of talked through that Dreadlord thing and I actually remembered something about like whenever Sylvanas did it, right? Like I'm excited. So so there's a ton of new stuff. I mean, and of course BC is coming back. So super excited there. But yeah.
Yeah, like I am now feeling very nostalgic. So when I leveled my druid back in BC, I leveled through Hillsbrad and the Hinterlands and Rathi Foothills?
Rathi Highlands.
Rathi Highlands, yeah. And the that like area. And now I'm like, I'm gonna go and look up what level range those are and maybe head over there.
nice.
Go on a little adventure.
Very cool.
It's like level 45 or something, but I think the other ones are closer to 30. So, yeah. Despite the fact that, you know, we didn't have huge earth-shattering announcements for Modern WoW, I still think this was a good BlizzCon.
Yeah. I mean, this is one of the big ones where like I cared a little bit less, at least before this show, about the retail WoW stuff and more. I was more excited about like
franchises got, if you count, especially if you count classic WoW as like a separate franchise, which it kind of is, kind of isn't. Then yeah, I definitely think the other franchises largely got more,
yeah,
which is fine. We just had an expansion release. That's kind of to be expected.
Yeah. And real quick before we end the show, the one thing I forgot to talk about was all the updates they gave around Heroes of the Storm.
Oh
yeah. Do we have, really? Do we have like a couple minutes to go through that?
Yeah, let's go for it.
Cool. So they said nothing.
Oh, what a bait. Holy crap. People in my guild still play that.
So to be fair, like, yeah, me and a bunch of my friends started playing it again, like this, like the last 2 weeks for whatever reason. But yeah, no updates. So dead game. Sorry.
What a bait. Okay. We're going to wrap up the show there. Thank you all for watching and for listening. This has been episode 57 of the Peak of Serenity podcast. If you enjoyed this and you want to support it and all of the other work that we do at Peak of Serenity, you can do that over at our Patreon at patreon.com/peakofserenity. You can also, if you'd like to help out, come and hang out in Discord. We've got lounge channels to just chill in, and you know, question and answer channels and discussion channels for each of the specs, and it's a good old time. And we always appreciate it when people come and, you know, become a bigger part of the community. But again, thank you all for listening, and we will see you next week.
Bye.
Thank you.